Dateline Washington, Monday, May 11th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Obama and healthcare. We'll speak with Grace Murray Turner of the Galen Institute as President Obama says he has all the major players in the healthcare industry on the same page and moving forward towards comprehensive reform. Is that true? Will you be able to keep your current coverage if you like it? And why could we soon be looking at a great shortage of doctors in this country? Also in this edition, a military shakeup in Afghanistan. The Pentagon removes General David McKiernan as the commander of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. We'll ask why and discuss the smartest road forward in that theater with retired U.S. Army General Paul Vallely. Plus, final finesse, former National Security Council Senior Director Karna Small Bodman is here to talk about her new thriller and the very real issues it touches on, including border security and energy independence. And Obama's lack of jobs plan. J.D. Foster of the Heritage Foundation will be with us to explain why Obama's goal of creating 3.5 million new jobs will be thwarted by Obama's own policies. All that plus Monday's headlines straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with healthcare, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Grace Murray Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country, located just outside the nation's capital. We wanted to get her thoughts today as President Obama promised to trim $2 trillion in healthcare costs by the time we get to 2019 as a result of the reforms he's proposing. He also says he's excited about the fact that all different sectors of the healthcare industry are coming together in support of the reform agenda. And Grace Murray, thanks so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you, Greg.
Obama excited all the key players were there, Grace Murray. Some say that means there's a unified front. Others say some are there because they want to make sure this bill isn't as bad as it could be. What do you think?
Well, I think actually all the above is true. There really is general agreement that there are serious problems in our health sector that we need to address. But when I look at this list of people who attended the meeting at the White House today, the America's Health Insurance Plans, the American Hospital Association, American Medical Association, Pharma, the SEIU, interesting, a labor union. These are associations, a few companies were representative as well, but they're not the people who are actually delivering care and researching the products and running the hospital. So it's really hard for me to see how these associations have promised that they can reduce health costs by $2 trillion over the next 10 years, when in fact I don't see any of the mechanics here or the tools they're going to need to do it. They talked about reducing overuse and underuse of health care by aligning incentives so that we can have more coordinated care, encouraging the use of health information technologies, prevention, chronic care management. Those are all wonderful things, but even the Congressional Budget Office has said you can't score those. It costs a lot more money up front to make those investments than it is that's going to save in money in the long term, if any at all. So I basically see, yes, this is great PR, and they're going to, you know, it's the lead story on many newscasts today. But my question is, where's the beef? What new idea has anybody offered that's actually going to make this possible?
Grace Murray, in terms of the folks that were there, what do you, and you've been at some of these forums before, this one's a little bit smaller, but in terms of what the dialogue is like, is it basically the president telling these different sectors what's going to happen, or is there a pretty free exchange of ideas here?
Oh, I think that, I mean, this is not a place where exchange of ideas. The letter had already been developed, I'm sure. The White House took its talking points out of its budget, really, of where they say that they're going to try to get health care costs down. And it's supposedly everybody saying, yes, as you said before, we want to see it, that they want to see it at the table. Nobody wants to be the turkey that gets carved up. So, yes, absolutely everybody's there. But when you talk about one-sixth of our economy and what's wrong, you've got to look at the fundamental policy things, the tools that Washington has, and that's policy tools. You know, it's figuring out how to engage the competitive marketplace to get better value and to really engage consumers as being partners in managing their health care costs and managing their spending, giving doctors new incentives to do better coordinated care, to pay them differently. I don't hear any of this in here, and yet there are policy tools they have, but just promises are hollow if it's a bunch of people getting together and saying this is their wish list, which is what I hear this is.
Grace Marie, you mentioned that no one wants to be the turkey that gets carved up. From what you know of this plan, both congressionally and through the Obama administration, who do they want to make the turkey?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I think mostly at this point, the Obama administration desperately wants to deliver health reform. And when the president spoke after this meeting, he's backed off of his promise of universal coverage. The whole concern is now on costs. And they know that we've got that the major energy in our healthcare system still comes from the private sector. And if they're going to be part of this conversation, and the White House is really going to make this happen, they've got to engage the private sector. So basically, I think right here and today, you've got to look at this as the White House backing off of a pledge to really completely reform the whole healthcare system through the government and to give everybody free healthcare. I don't hear any of this there. But nobody wants to be the first one to say that we're going to be the first people to oppose what they were doing. So I think that nobody wants to be the turkey, basically.
Grace Marie, one of the things the president also said today that he's repeatedly said, but there are some skeptics in the free market side of this debate. He says if you like your current plan, you get to keep it. Nothing's really going to change. But if you don't like it and you don't have access right now, there will be an option for you. Mm-hmm. How accurate is that for those who currently are satisfied with their coverage?
You know, that's and the president said that again today, that if you like your health care and like your doctor, you'll be able to keep it. The Lewin Group has done an economic consulting firm has done some research to show that if the government is successful in introducing a new Medicare for All, a new government insurance plan that would be available basically to everybody, that 119 million Americans would lose their private coverage, many, if not most of whom, would not do this voluntarily. Basically, their employers would dump them into this new government plan. Private health insurance would vanish. So the president, he can't make that promise that people are going to be able to keep their private insurance if all these companies basically go out of business because the government has taken over. When we look at Medicare, when Medicare was created in 1965, the great majority of seniors had private health insurance at the time. We didn't have Medicare, but there were low-income seniors who couldn't afford it, people that had pre-existing illnesses that couldn't get health insurance. We should have focused the problem there. What happened was government created a new program available to all seniors, paid for by the taxpayers, by the way, now tens of trillions of dollars in the red, and Medicare quickly replaced all of that private health insurance. So the only private insurance most seniors can buy now is supplementary insurance because Medicare is such a faulty program, insurance policy. It looks like something designed in 1965. But that private insurance is only supplementary to the government insurance. If that's what the American people want, we need to have an open, honest conversation about this. They are going to get sideswiped, so the private insurance is not going to be available to them because this new government gorilla, 800-pound gorilla, comes in promising the world, underpaying physicians and hospitals, and then basically crushing private health insurance companies. That's the direction that we're moving if we don't help the American people understand that this public plan option is not an option. It is a fast road to government takeover of our healthcare system.
You mentioned that doctors would get underpaid and that private health insurers would get run out of the system, which means doctors couldn't just work in those confines. What will we see in terms of the number of people who either stay in or want to get into the medical field when they don't get the reimbursement that they currently get?
I guess I would have in earlier days said that they're all going to go to work for Wall Street, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I think not only are we going to have fewer smart students coming into medicine and deciding to make this a career, we're also going to see a lot of physicians who are currently in practice deciding to do something else, retiring early. I mean, some major healthcare facilities have told me that if 10% more of its patients are paid at Medicare rates, and that's a lot better than Medicaid rates, the Medicare is the program for senior citizens, that if 10% more are paid at Medicare rates, they will go out of business. So we're really close to the margin right now of losing quality hospitals, quality clinics, quality physicians. And if we have a government payment system where government is dictating these prices, then we're going to all wind up with much, much inferior quality health care in this country. And that's another conversation. People have got to understand the consequences. This is not innocuous. This is not only affecting 1/6 of our economy, it's affecting all of our futures as far as our health care needs are concerned.
So many layers to this debate, Grace Marie. It's easy to get lost in the shuffle. What are the one or two biggest points that free marketers need to hammer home as this debate gets rolling?
Well, I think the most important thing is to look at this public plan. A government-run health insurance plan will drive private options out of the picture. So if we all want to be on a government-run health insurance program, that is a superhighway to get there. So with the public plan option, it is absolutely the touchstone lightning rod issue right now in Congress. It's important that we not give in on that. It's really crucial. The next is mandates. You know, how much is the federal government going to get involved in telling employers they have to offer health insurance, what the structure of that health insurance is, that individuals have to buy insurance, mandates that we have to create a whole new federal regulatory system to run the whole system. That the federalization of healthcare cost delivery and all these mandates are really the other thing. So the public plan and all the mandates would be the two things I really would ask people to focus on, because it moves power and control to Washington, to bureaucracies, and away from doctors and patients.
Grace Marie, unfortunately, we need to stop there. Thank you, as always, for your time.
Thank you, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. This is Dateline Washington.